for a little over a month or so, both on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. If you're a guest here, welcome to Leviticus. This is where we are. And we simply, that's a good reminder. Don't forget to shut off all your cell phones and pagers, your defibrillators. No, not those. But at least put them to stun, and that way if they go off, we can watch you. Sometimes I don't know why I say stuff like that. My apologies. Leviticus chapter 13, we're simply just going to kind of walk through this chapter together as we have been through the book of Leviticus. This morning we're going to be talking about leprosy. We're also going to be talking about spiritual leprosy. Now when I was growing up, I don't know about you, but leprosy was something we used to joke about. I never knew that it still existed and still was a real thing. And so we used to sing, you know, like, leprosy, I'm not half the man I used to be. You know, things like that. What happened at the lepers' hockey game? There was a face-off in the corner. Oh, I know, that's horrible, horrible, right. So I don't remember where I was. I had no clue, really, what leprosy was. And then I was at a church event one time, I don't even remember where, and there was a group there called the American Leprosy Society. Because leprosy actually physically still exists, not in the United States, but in other parts of the world. And now they've come up with medicinal cures and things like that for it. So I felt a little bad that we had been making fun of it, you know, and it wound up being something real. But it gets talked about quite a bit in the in Scripture, and not only for physical leprosy, but also for spiritual leprosy. Now, I want to be honest with you, I actually suffer from spiritual leprosy. But it's okay, because so do the rest of us. And at times it can be contagious, and that's something that happens later in chapter 13. We can read about that. We won't make it there this morning. But just understand that you and I are approaching this in such a way that you and I all have some form of leprosy, and it's the spiritual form of leprosy. So as we walk through the opening verses of this chapter, we're looking at it physically, but we're also looking at it spiritually and what it represents and what it stands for, and make some parallel connections here. So here's what it says in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body." We'll stop right there for a moment. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 2, that physical leprosy starts really small. It gives us three S words. You see them there in verse 2, and I teach out of the New King James Version, so if you use something a little bit different, that's okay. It just may read a little bit different, but it's saying the same thing. In verse 2 in the New King James Version, it tells us that when leprosy first shows up, it's simply going to show up as a swelling, a scab, or a spot. I like it when the Bible works in such a way to simplify things by letting them all start with the same letter or things like that. So it starts small, a swelling, a scab, or a spot. But notice also in verse 2 that it tells us that when a man has on the skin one of those three things, the swelling, the scab, or the spot, it then says that it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore. So while it begins as a swelling, a scab, or a spot, it is on its way to becoming something else. So it's good, part of what God is saying here is simply this, it's good if you have a swelling, a scab, or a sore, not just to say, well, it's no big deal. It could possibly be, not all of the time, but it could possibly be that small spot is actually on its way to becoming something much more serious. It should not be ignored. Now, here's the spiritual side of things. That's physical leprosy. That's what you do if you can see on your body that you have a swelling, a scab, or a spot. Don't ignore it. Don't freak out about it, but don't ignore it. Just understand that potentially that could be on its way to becoming a bigger deal than what you're seeing with your eyeballs. Here's the spiritual part of it. Leprosy for us in Scripture really represents a type of sin. You and I, when we have sin in our lives, typically that sin starts out small. It's a spot or a swelling or a scab. It's little, it's small, but if it is not dealt with, it is on its way to becoming bigger and worse. It's on its way to spreading. Not all of the time, because sometimes we do the right thing when that happens in our lives. But it is so easy when we sin in a small way to just ignore it or to say, well, it's really not that big a deal. In fact, sometimes we do that just to do it, but sometimes we do it by comparing our sinful spot or our sinful swelling to the sinful spot or swelling of somebody else. Well, I may have this, but at least I don't have that. I may have this little swelling or this little sinful spot in my life, but at least I'm not struggling with the sin that they're struggling with. Not a good idea, right? Not a good idea to compare ourselves to somebody else. It's a way for us to ignore sin. And there's one thing that's crystal clear in Scripture, and that is that God takes sin seriously. It's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross. He takes sin seriously. And sin, all the time, every time, results in death. That's why God takes it seriously, and that's why we should take it seriously too, because unchecked, undealt with sin always leads down that specific path. Now, we also just read in these verses that we covered here that, interestingly enough, when this physical thing goes on here, they don't run to the doctor. It lets us know at the end of verse 2 there that when that's going on in your life, this physical leprosy, that you shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest. Now, it wasn't just back then because they didn't have hospitals or clinics or things like that. We know at the very least they had nurses or midwives, if you will, who worked with the Jewish women even all the way back when they were still in Egypt, a few years before what we're reading now. So it wasn't that, well, they just didn't have modern medicine. Okay, that may be part of it. But I think the other part of it is this. God is setting forth here in Leviticus 13 that the solution to leprosy, even physical leprosy, isn't something physical. It's not taking medicine. It's not being given an antidote. It's not being given a what do they call that? Like if you have an ear infection or strep throat. Antibiotic. Thank you very much, Darlene. An antibiotic. And it's not just as simple as that. That there, even to physical leprosy, God is building in here a spiritual solution. The priest comes to them, or that they come to the priest. All that the priest is able to do is to diagnose the leprosy. All that the priest is able to do is to then tell them, when the leprosy is gone, here's what you need to do next. The priest does not have the cure for leprosy. The priest can only diagnose and say what needs to happen after the leprosy is gone. Anything that has to happen in between there, the priest is incapable of doing that. So here we see, here comes the diagnosis here in verse 3. It says, as the priest examines this person, that if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. Notice that phrase there in verse 3, that as the priest examines this person, what he's looking for is to see whether that leprosy is deeper than the skin. Actually, that's what defines it as leprosy. See, that's the way that leprosy works. When you have the outward signs of leprosy, physical leprosy, that leprosy has been in your system for quite a long time. And now you're just seeing the outward signs of it. And so it is not uncommon for people who have leprosy to lose some of their extremities. I was reading about leprosy on the continent of Africa. There were some well-known doctors who were trying to deal with it then. And one of them did not learned this about leprosy only by observation. He was trying to get into his office one day, and he could not get the doorknob turned to his office. It wouldn't turn for some reason. And there was a leper who was there, because that's the group he was working with, who came up and took that doorknob and turned it until he was able to force it open. When the man pulled his hand away from the doorknob, it was completely and totally a bloody mess, and all of his skin had been peeled open, but he felt nothing. Because that's one of the signs of leprosy. One of the signs of leprosy is that your nerve endings become dead. And so there's stories of, in the middle of the night in leper colonies on the continent of Africa, that you wake up the following morning and one of your fingers is missing. Because during the night, a rat came and ate it off, but you didn't feel a thing, because your nerves were deadened. We're going to talk more about that, maybe a little bit less detail. Sorry, kids. Sorry, parents. Just a few minutes. Mom, what's leprosy? You know, just imagining that this afternoon at the Sunday dinner table. That's one of the things. It starts inside of you. It's deeper than the skin. And when it shows itself on the outside, if it is leprosy, that's how they tell. That's the outward sign of something that's been going on inside. Now, do you think we can make that same parallel to sin? When sin comes out of us, when sin is seen on the outside, if you will, well, let's put it this way. You ever sin with your mouth? Raise your hand if you've sinned with your mouth. Good, we're all about participation here. Good, okay. And if you said, no, I've never sinned with my mouth, you probably just lied, all right? And that's a whole different conversation we need to have. So when you sin with your mouth, the Bible says this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we say, well, I can't believe what just came out of my mouth. No. That was rattling around in your heart first. That was deeper than the skin. Or when we do something and right afterwards we think, I can't believe I just did that, or I can't believe. No, that originated deeper than skin level. So like leprosy, like sin, that's what the priest is looking for. Does this go deeper than the skin? And there's two things that he pronounces for this person. Number one, they're unclean. And basically, please understand that what that does is that means that in some ways they're as good as dead. They're still alive and they're still breathing, and it's not a physical diagnosis that, oh, you're good as dead. But what I mean is this: everything that they were used to has now changed. Once you become unclean in Old Testament times for any reason, but certainly for leprosy, there's some things that start to happen in your life. There's a disconnect between you and your family when leprosy is invading your life. There's a disconnect between you and God, you and the place you worship. See, that's what would actually happen. They would actually not be able to go home and pack a suitcase to move out to the leper colony. They would just have to go. There's no goodbyes. There's no hugs. There's no touching anything. Later on in chapter 13, I think it is near the end of the chapter of Leviticus here, it talks about how if you're a leper and you're coming walking into a public area, you actually have to announce yourself as being unclean so everybody can get out of your way, because everything you touch is going to be impacted by your uncleanness. So too with sin. I don't know if you've noticed that the way it works in your life and the way it works in my life is that when I am in sin and I become unclean because of that, that is deeper than the sin, deeper than the skin, that there is a disconnect that happens in my other human relationships. There's a disconnect when there's unchecked sin in my life between me and my wife. There's a disconnect when there's unchecked sin in my life between me and my kids, between me and the people I worship with. There is a disconnect when I have uncleanness undealt with in my life. There is a disconnect between me and God. Now, it's solvable, it's fixable, we understand that, but it's still there. And so the priest looks at this person and says, you're unclean. Turn with me, if you would, to the New Testament for just a moment, to the book of Ephesians. Take the time to find your way there. Ephesians chapter 2. After the Gospels, you have several, you have Acts and then several longer letters, and then you get to some shorter ones like Galatians and then Ephesians right after that. Ephesians chapter 2. Talking about uncleanness, talking about this person because of their leprosy, talking about us because of our spiritual leprosy, in Ephesians chapter 2, declared unclean, being alive, and yet there's something dead about us at the same time. Take a look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Look at the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. It's telling us two things. It's telling us that, number one, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. There's the spiritual leprosy. And yet at the same time, we're still walking around. So it's not a physical death we're talking about. It's a spiritual death. We are going around like the walking dead. Now, I was thinking earlier this week that I'm not much of a screenwriter or anything, but I have a really good idea for a TV show that I'm going to pitch to AMC. And I'm going to call it The Walking Dead. That's my, like, working title. And I'm going to pitch it. Everyone think that's a good idea? Not Scott Campbell? No? Not such a... No. It's kind of been taken? Yeah, okay. Well, never mind. How many of you know what The Walking Dead is? Okay, that's fewer of you than I thought. Notice I did not ask how many of you watch The Walking Dead. All right, but that's what we're talking about. Dead, yet walking around. Dead in our trespasses and sins, yet still walking around. Jump down with me, if you would, to a verse that helps us understand the second thing that that the priest tells the leper in Leviticus 13. It's all the way down in chapter 2 to verse 12. 2:12, here's what it says. "That at that time," again describing the time when we were the walking dead, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So here's this priest now telling the leper in Leviticus 13, "You're unclean." But the second thing, and we'll take a look at it again in a minute, in Leviticus 13 that he has to do with that leper is he has to isolate him. You don't just get to go home and stay in another room with the rest of your family. You don't get to go to work and just be quarantined to your own cubicle. No, you are outside of the town, literally living with other people who are just like you, hence the name leper colonies. And you become isolated, not just physically isolated, but Ephesians 2:12 says that really you're without four things. Number one, you're without Christ. Number two, you're without promise. Number three, you're without hope. Number four, you're without God. That is not a good place to be, spiritually speaking. Even if we just take one, without Christ, and four, without God. Throw in without hope, throw in without promise, and you understand maybe a little bit what it means to be a spiritual leper. These are all things that when we've been declared unclean because of spiritual leprosy, these are the things that isolation brings to us. Let's add one more, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. Just over two chapters. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. Beginning of this verse, we're kind of picking up partway through a phrase. But again, it's talking about unbelievers, or it's talking about Gentiles, as it says in verse 17. In verse 19, it talks about who being past feeling. See, that fits with what I was telling you before about the young man who turned the doorknob on the doctor's office. That fits with what I told you before about leprosy having a way of deadening you to the pain and the reality of what's going on in your life. And sometimes when we ignore sin and it runs unchecked in our lives, we can get to that point. Not only have we been declared unclean, not only are we isolated without Christ, without God, without promise, and without hope, but we don't really care. I have to tell you that that is one of the most frustrating things as a parent when my wife and I attempt to punish our children. Is sometimes we think, okay, well, we're gonna tell them, well, then you can't do this, or you can't have this, or you can't watch this. And sometimes some of my kids, not so much my teenagers, as the younger one, will say, well, I don't care. I didn't really want to eat that anyway. I didn't really want to watch that anyway. And you just want to, you know? I mean, not really. We don't do that at home. But do you understand what I mean, parents? Isn't it frustrating when you think, man, I'm going to take, and they have this thing of, well, yeah, that's no big deal. I don't really. Well, listen, that's sometimes what happens with us with sin. Like we said at the start, we think it's no big deal. And somebody says, well, you know, if you do that, this is what's going to be the ramifications of that. You're going to lose this. You're going to be declared unclean. You're going to be isolated. You'll be without Christ. You'll be without promise. You'll be without hope. You'll be without God. I don't really care. I don't really have much use for God anyway. I don't need hope. I'm a self-made man. I just need, you know, positive thinking or, you know, Oprah or Dr. Phil or somebody, you know, just to kind of get me through. I don't need Christ. I don't need God. I shouldn't just go. Man, that must be frustrating to God when he shows us the ramifications of unchecked sin and people say, so what? I don't really care. Man, that must break his heart. I don't think he gets like this, you know, but I do think it breaks his heart. Back to Leviticus chapter 13. Picking up at verse 4, tells us near the end of the verse that after declaring the leper unclean, at the end of verse 4 it says, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days. Notice that 7 days at the end of verse 4. And then it says in verse 5 that the priest shall examine him on the 7th day, and indeed if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, that the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day, and indeed, if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So I want you to notice that even being declared unclean is meant to be temporary. Even being isolated is meant to be temporary. It is a time of observation. No doubt for the leper, the physical leper, it is also a time of examination. Not so much him being examined by the priest, but him just taking a look at his own life, maybe asking himself, how in the world did I get this? How in the world did I wind up in this place, in this situation? But it is meant to be temporary. It is not a permanent death sentence. There is a way to be cured of physical leprosy, but it is not the priest who is going to be the one to do it, as we've already said. Now, sometimes when you talk to people about sin and the ramifications of unchecked or unconfessed sin, sometimes they have that not caring attitude like we were talking about before, but sometimes they lash out in regards to that. They lash out about the gospel message. And very often it gets phrased like this. Well, if God is a God of love, and you know that can be finished a whole bunch of ways, that our world does finish that a whole bunch of ways. But speaking on a personal level, the person might say, well, I'm not such a bad person and things like that. And you try to kind of walk them and work them through all of that, but they still keep coming back to that if God is such a God of love, and if God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, then why even call us guilty? Why call us unclean? Why call us, if you will, spiritual lepers? Back to the New Testament once again we go. This time we're headed to the book of Romans, I think, first. Romans chapter 13. Once you're in Romans chapter 13, go back two chapters to Romans 11. Because that's where I really want you to be. That's all right, but sometimes we do that, you know. Romans chapter 11, all the way down to verse 32. Here's this person, confined, if you will, by their physical leprosy. Here we are at times, seemingly confined, imprisoned by our spiritual leprosy, that for whatever reason we don't want to deal with, for whatever reason we think we just kind of slough it off or write it off, we don't treat it seriously, and it's not as bad as this person, or it's not my fault, it's God's fault, and so on and so forth. No sense of personal responsibility. We wonder what God is doing here. It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 32, It says, for God has committed, that phrase in Hebrew, excuse me, in Greek is shut them all up in. For God has shut them all up in. God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. What kind of a God tells me I'm a sinner and isolates me and declares me unclean? The God who wants to show you mercy. The God who wants to show you grace. If you don't understand the depth of your sin, you won't understand the greater depth of his mercy. It's the book of Romans that says to us, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Never experience that for yourself if you just don't take sin seriously and try to blame other people or point the finger at God like somehow this is his fault. Here it says in God's word, it says that God keeps us at times in that place of disobedience, in that place of sin, so we will examine ourselves so that ultimately we will see our need for his mercy. Galatians chapter 3, right after Romans is 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then you will find yourself in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians 3:22, it says this, but the scripture has confined all under sin. There's the same idea again. The scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Man, that verse is awesome. Scripture has confined all under sin. Scripture agrees. That's what it's saying. Scripture agrees that when we suffer from spiritual leprosy, we are unclean and isolated. And we can point the finger at anyone we want, or we can take the time to examine ourselves and say, you know what? I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Doesn't it feel that way sometimes? Man, you know, I have the sin in my life I've been working on, and finally the Lord has given me some victory in that, only to have this be, you know, this rear its ugly head in this area over here. But look at that promise there in Galatians 3:22, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Not those who make themselves clean, not those who unisolate themselves, but those who believe in Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of grace and mercy. Do you know that in the Old Testament, there were only two people, I believe it was, who were healed of leprosy? One of them was Moses' sister Miriam, and it didn't go according to the law that we're reading in Leviticus chapter 13, because it happened during a period of time when the law was still being given. The other person who was healed of leprosy was not a Jewish man at all. He did not need to show himself to the priest. He did not need to be isolated. He did not need to come and re-show himself to the priest afterwards. He was a man, he was Syrian. That's what he was. He was from Syria. His name was Naaman. He went to the prophet of God one day because of the leprosy in his life. He had been tipped off that this was a man of God, actually, by one of his servants. And he went to visit this man of God, and the man of God didn't even come to the door of his home, but sent his own servant to speak to Naaman. Naaman was a captain in the army. Naaman was a powerful, popular man. He did not take very kindly to this great man of God, supposedly in Naaman's mind, not even bothering to come to the door of his house. And then, on top of that, the solution that this man of God gave Naaman for getting rid of his leprosy was ridiculous, according to Naaman. This man of God sent his servant to tell Naaman, go and dip yourself in the river 7 times, and your leprosy will be healed. Naaman went away angry. He went away upset. Because, quite frankly, that plan for getting rid of leprosy sounds really stupid. Dip myself in the river 7 times, and I'm going to be healed. And he didn't do it. His own servant, who had directed him to the man of God, said, Naaman, if he had asked you to do something difficult, if he had asked you to go on some kind of a quest, would you not have done it? And yet he asks you to do something simple and something that is a lot easier than you seem to think it is, and you refuse to do so. See, the message for how Naaman's physical leprosy could be healed was foolishness to Naaman. You see where I'm going? Spiritual leprosy, the solution, the only solution, is found in the cross of Christ. That's what we're reading in Galatians 3:22, that the promise that comes to those who, as it says there, promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The promise is by faith in Jesus, not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ, who he was and what he came to do, Jesus Christ. That's what that's talking about. And there are people, many of us, maybe some of us this morning, but certainly many of us in the past, who heard about the cross of Christ and thought, you mean to tell me that the cure to my spiritual leprosy, now that I'm willing to at least even think about that, that the cure to my spiritual leprosy is found in the cross of Christ? That's stupid. You expect me to believe that a man who died 2,000 years ago died for my sin? That is foolishness. And Scripture tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But it is the power of God unto us who believe. And that sounds like a really simple solution to leprosy, and yet simple solution to sin, and yet how many of us didn't respond the first time we heard it? How many of us in one ear, out the other, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Here we go now back to Leviticus chapter 13. We're given here a couple of scenarios beginning in verse 7. It says, if the scab, verse 7 says of Leviticus 13, if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So here's what we have. We have a man who's been diagnosed with leprosy by the priest. He's been declared unclean and he's had to be isolated. At some point, he's able to reappear before the priest and the priest declares him clean. But, bless you, but, good catch too. I don't know why I said that either. Sorry about that, yeah. Who are we talking about? See, this is what happens. Priest, yeah, good. Okay, right. So the priest, right, he reappears to the priest. He's been declared clean, but as he goes home, suddenly that leprosy appears. At some point later in his life, that leprosy either appears or reappears. And I don't know if you've noticed this in your own walk, but even when you've embraced the work of Christ on the cross, you and I, we still struggle with spiritual leprosy, do we not? It doesn't end when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Even after we get declared clean, that leprosy has a way of still showing up in our lives. It just does. And so, when it shows up in our lives, we don't get to say, well, we're just going to ignore that because when I had leprosy before, I confessed it and you know, embraced Christ's work on the cross. No, when the leprosy reappears, we have to do the same thing again. Don't ignore it. Don't point the finger. Just say, okay, there it is again, man. There it is again. Showing up in a new spot or in a new way, but it's leprosy. It's leprosy. Got to go through the same thing, same promises. You don't have to get saved again. Please don't misunderstand that. But it's the importance of coming to the cross and coming to the cross and coming to the cross. It's why Paul would say in the New Testament, in one of the letters he wrote, you know what? Wherever I go, I don't talk about anything but the cross. That's kind of my paraphrase. I don't talk about anything but Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. That's my only message. Not just to those who don't know Jesus, but even to the church. That's my only message. It's an important one. understandable why that would be his only message that he felt the Lord was leading him to give. Here's the next scenario, verse 9. When the leper sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it's an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. So again, we have a little bit of a different scenario, but the same things are playing out. There's no isolation this time, because this time it's an old leprosy. Have you ever noticed in your walk with the Lord that the sin that you struggle with very often is the same sin that you struggled with a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago? Like if you have a proclivity to lying, you're probably not going to rob a bank tomorrow, but I bet sometime in the next week you're going to lie, because we tend to gravitate towards the sins that we've always struggled with. In the New Testament, the New Testament puts it this way. It's the old man, you know? Not like, how's your old man? Not like that, okay? All of us have an old man. Even if we're a woman, we have an old man, spiritually speaking. It's the old man coming back again. We want to be new men. We want to be new women. We're new creations in Christ, but that old man is hanging around. A little creepy sometimes, that old man hanging around, but he's hanging around, and he sometimes rears his ugly head, and it can be looked at and said, old leprosy, but it doesn't matter that it's old leprosy. It doesn't isolate you like it did before, but it still gets you declared unclean. All right, let's wrap this up. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. Leviticus 13, Leviticus 14, the law of the leper. What it was, what it looked like. What the leper's responsibility was, what the priest's responsibility was. Nowhere in those chapters, and you can continue reading on your own from where we just left off if you so choose, nowhere in those chapters in the law of the leper is there anything about the actual cure. And that's what we want. What's the solution? What can we take? What can we drink? What can we eat? What can we, you know, who can we see that's going to tell us how to not be a leper anymore? And so while God builds in, here's what leprosy looks like, go to the priest to diagnose it, and God builds in, when you show yourself to the priest and you've been healed of your leprosy, here's the sacrifices you need to make. Nowhere in the middle does he say how to actually get rid of leprosy in your life. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it's going to tell us why. Because while Leviticus is all about the law of the leper, God leaves out the part about who can bring healing to the leper. Because it's only God himself that can bring healing to the leper. Physically and spiritually. Here's what it says now in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Can you sense the desperation in this man? This man who's been declared unclean, cut off from his wife, cut off from his family, cut off from his church, cut off from his job, living outside of the city with nothing but the clothes on his back. When he wants to go to the market to beg to get some change from somebody, he has to announce himself as unclean. You imagine going to Market Basket or wherever you grocery shop the next time you go there and walking into there because of your spiritual uncleanness, yelling, sinner! Sinner coming through, clear aisle 2, sinner coming. Be embarrassing. Be a difficult thing to do. Spiritual leprosy is not the kind of thing that we like to announce to other people. This man is taking a chance because he doesn't say he's yelling that he's unclean. It's saying that he's making his way close enough to Jesus that he's able to kneel right in front of him. I don't have to tell you, you probably already know that everywhere Jesus went, crowds followed him. Crowds that by, according to the law of the leper, by touching them and coming into contact with them, he was making all of them unclean. And yet this man is at that point of desperation, that point of hopelessness. He realizes he is without Christ. He realizes he is without promise and without hope and without God. And now he comes in verse 40, imploring Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Don't flip those two phrases around. Don't make this man this desperate saying, Jesus, I sure hope you can make me clean. That's not what he says. He doesn't question Jesus' ability to make him clean. He questions Jesus' willingness to make him clean. That's something sometimes people today struggle with spiritual leprosy. Not, can God forgive me? They reach a point where they understand that God can forgive anyone of anything except for them. Because what they did is so heinous. What they did is so unforgivable. It's so horrible. It's so ugly. Whether it was because once, but it was a doozy, or because it's been going on and on and on and on. That they come and don't question Jesus' ability. They question whether he would want to for them. We're going to read it here in a minute, but let me just tell you, Jesus wants to make you clean. It's not just that he can, he wants to make you clean. Yeah, but I'm the worst leper. What, you're going to have to get in line, first of all, between 100 other people here this morning who are saying the same things about themselves. And Jesus wants to make all of us clean. He's able and he's willing. And that's what he says to this guy in verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Do you know that Jesus could have healed that leper by speaking a word? Jesus could have just said, I'm willing, be healed. But he touched a man who had not been touched by any other human being for who knows how long, to the point that it brought him to desperation. And Jesus makes it a point in a crowd of people to physically lay his hand on that person. That person who considered themselves untouchable. There's an entire class of people in India called the Untouchables. I know it was also a movie about the mafia or something like that, okay? But there are people today who are told and believe that they are untouchable, that God cannot touch them and would not want to touch them. And they're not just a class of people in India. They're people in our lives, maybe even people in this room, who don't quite understand just how personal Jesus is. That while he died on the cross for the whole world, as Steve reminded us from that verse earlier today, what that really means is that he died on the cross for you and for me. He is moved with compassion. I love that phrase. Anywhere you read it in the Gospels when it says that Jesus is moved with compassion, understand that it's not just like sympathy, oh, I feel so bad for this guy, or empathy or something like that. It is that emotion backed by action. So Jesus, before the feeding of the 5,000 that we've all heard before, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and all of that, Jesus, before that, it says that Jesus looked at that group of people there on the beach as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion, and so he fed them. Here he is. He's moved with compassion. He touches this man who hasn't been touched. He touches this man who no one wanted to touch, and he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. That's how fast it happens. There's nothing about that in Leviticus 13. Nothing about that in Leviticus 14. But yet God puts it in there, the law of the leper, in preparation for him walking this earth. And by the touch of his hand or by the sound of his voice, however he chose to do it, healing the leper. He touched him, and immediately, it says there in verse 3, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Spiritual leprosy works the same way. Spiritual leprosy sometimes causes us to ask the same questions. Okay, I'm finally at the point where I believe that Jesus can heal me. I'm not sure he wants to heal me. And then we get to that point where we say, okay, Jesus is willing to heal even me. I'm desperate. I realize what I'm without because of my sinful condition. When we approach Jesus that way, please understand, he is moved with compassion. He is going to act. He is going to do something. He is going to touch you. And the moment he touches you, the moment you say, you know what, by faith in Jesus Christ, I want to be cleansed, you are cleansed. That's what Scripture teaches us. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus came riding into the city, the word that we sang in our two opening songs, Hosanna, was the very word that was being sung and chanted from the oldest to the youngest on Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word means save now, save now. Can you imagine that chant going up from the crowd? But they understood what God meant when he talked about salvation. They were looking for political salvation. They were looking for financial salvation. They were looking for social salvation. What he was offering was eternal salvation. And so that same crowd, as we've all heard it said before, who was chanting, save now, save now, save now, just a matter of days later, would be shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, simply because he did not offer them the salvation that they expected him to or that they wanted him to. Not realizing the fact that the salvation that he offered was so much better and so much greater and so much more needed by them. And so how about us? Save now, Jesus. I'm in a bad relationship. Save now. Save now, Jesus. My finances are not where they should be yet in 2015. Save now. Jesus, I don't have a lot of friends. Jesus, I'm struggling at work. Save now, save now. But the salvation he's offering is so much better and so much more necessary than now, instant, current salvation that we think we need. It's eternal salvation. That's what he's offering to each and every one of us today. And we don't just talk about this because it's Palm Sunday and we're a week away from Easter. We talk about this all the time because in Jesus Christ and in him only are found the is found, I don't know the proper English, is found, are found, were found, whatever, the only solution to spiritual leprosy. You and I can walk out that door this morning and still be spiritual lepers. Or we can say, you know what, I've been confined in my sin, I've been confined by leprosy, and I see now from God's word that it's because he wants to show me mercy. We can respond accordingly. So let's pray together.